It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
And hello, everyone. Hello. You know, this whole immigration thing is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We have a huge problem with immigration in the United States of America. And the big problem, to not mince any words whatsoever, is coming from our southern border, where we have a some 2,000-mile border with Mexico, where we have nationals from all sorts of countries, not just Mexico, but other Latin American countries and other countries where someone would otherwise not be permitted a visa or would not want to go through the process, will find their way into Mexico and then come across the border. However, the vast majority of people sneaking into this country and causing us all sorts of financial and criminal mayhem are illegals coming from Mexican nationals. And it's been a problem across the country, in some areas much more so than others. So, the state of Arizona passed SB 1070 in April. It went into effect this last Thursday. And the day before that, there was a judge, a federal judge in Arizona, who basically put a stop to different provisions of that law, the SB 1070 anti-immigration law. Now, there's some rather explosive evidence that shows that the judge that made that ruling against SB 1070 were illegal. So, in a development that could potentially send the nation into a bit of a constitutional crisis, an astute attorney who was well-versed in constitutional law, he stated that the ruling against the state of Arizona by Judge Susan Bolton concerning its new immigration law is illegal. Now, the attorney in question submitted her assertion in a special article to the Canada Free Press. And her argument states in part, quote, "Does anyone read the U.S. Constitution these days? American lawyers don't read it. Federal Judge Susan R. Bolton apparently has never read it. Same goes for our illustrious Attorney General Eric Holder. But this lawyer has read it, and she's going to show you something in our Constitution, which is as plain as the nose on your face. Here it is, Article 3, Section 2, Clause 2 of our Constitution says the following. In all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, and those in a state, and those in which a state shall be party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. In all other cases before mentioned, the Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction. In other words, the judge in the Arizona case has absolutely no constitutional jurisdiction over the matter upon which she ruled. As the Constitution makes abundantly clear, only the U.S. Supreme Court can issue rulings that involve a state. This means that neither Judge Bolton nor the Ninth Circuit of Appeals in San Francisco, to which the case is being appealed, have any legal standing whatsoever to rule on the issue. We're going to talk about this a little bit more when we come back, so stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Welcome back. I'm reading a bit of an opinion by a constitutional attorney who's saying that federal judge Susan Bolton has no legal standing to have ruled on Arizona's anti-immigration law SB 1070 or immigration reform law SB 1070, nor does the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco, to which the case is being appealed, have any legal standing whatsoever to rule on this case. Thus, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder filed the federal government's lawsuit against the state of Arizona in a court that has no authority to hear the case. The attorney, whose heads-up thinking concerning the Constitution, provides the legal remedy for dealing with this blatant disregard for constitutional law in the article at the Canada Free Press, which can be accessed online. You can just search for it. In a related development, another explosive discovery was made by those who actually take the Constitution seriously. The Constitution specifically allows an individual state to wage war against a neighboring country in the event of an invasion, should there be a dangerous delay or inaction on the part of the federal government. This information was cited by the United Patriots of America. From Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution, we find the following words: "No state shall, without the consent of Congress, engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay." Now, no one who's actually familiar with the crisis at the southern border can deny that Arizona is endangered by the relentless assault of lawless Mexican invaders who are ignoring our laws and inundate our schools and medical facilities with unpaid bills and even endanger the very lives of citizens with criminal drug cartels that engage in kidnapping, murder, 115 bodies recovered in Arizona entry routes, human trafficking, and other mayhem, including aiming missile and grenade launchers directly at U.S. border cities from just across the Mexican border. This is as much of an invasion as the nation of Iran is sending in a fleet of warships into the port of Charleston. Now, the Constitution that forms the basis of the rule of law in this country says that Arizona has a legal right to protect itself in the case of inaction or delay on the part of the federal government, including waging war in its self-defense. This is when coupled with clear constitutional mandates that only the Supreme Court can hear cases involving the states. There should be ample legal bias for attorneys representing Arizona to go after the federal government with a vengeance for their attack on SB 1070. Governor Jan Brewer and the stalwart members of the Arizona legislature, they have ample reason to stand firm against the illegal bullying of arrogant, lawless federal government, headed by a regime which is illicitly retaining control of the Oval Office. There's my two cents on that. Now, there is a ruling by the Attorney General of Virginia that offers, those rules offer that they can check immigration status, but that they aren't necessarily required. The officers in Virginia can check immigration status, according to the Attorney General of Virginia, but they're not required to have to do it. In an interview with Greta Van Susteren of Fox, Virginia's Attorney General, Ken Cusinelli, underscored that in Virginia, pursuing immigrants, the offense is up to the officer, whether or not they want to look into it. It's not required, like the way that SB 1070 in Arizona was required, but it is an option. Now, Virginia's Attorney General, also known as the top prosecutor, after issuing a legal opinion that seemed to align his state with Arizona in the battle over local immigration enforcement, he told Fox News just a couple days ago that this two states' policies aren't a perfect match. He issued a legal opinion last Friday saying state law enforcement officers are allowed to check the immigration status of anyone stopped or arrested. Now, in Arizona, they were only allowed to check if they had legally stopped or arrested somebody and had reasonable suspicion to believe they were in the country illegally. Evidently, in Virginia, if you're stopped or arrested, any legal stop or arrest, whether they believe you are in the country illegally or not, they evidently still have the power and authority to check your immigration status. The AG of Virginia says, "It is in my opinion that Virginia law enforcement officers, including conservation officers, may, like Arizona police officers, inquire into the immigration status of persons stopped or arrested," he wrote. But in an interview with Greta Van Susteren on Fox, Cusolini underscored that in Virginia, pursuing immigration offenses is up to the officer. It's not required, as was under Arizona's controversial immigration law of SB 1070. He says, "We are not mandating to our law enforcement that they make these inquiries on every stop," he says, noting that Arizona's law requires officers to check the immigration status of anyone stopped for other reasons when there's reasonable suspicion to believe they are in the country illegally. A federal judge blocked Arizona from implementing that provision while the Obama regime proceeds with its lawsuit seeking to strike down the entire Arizona law. The Obama regime argues that Arizona does not have the authority to enforce federal immigration laws on its own. Well, okay, they wrote their own law that they're enforcing, you jackwagons. Cusolini also specified in his legal opinion that while state officers have the authority to arrest suspects on criminal immigration violations, they are advised against arresting other civil immigration violations. Overstaying a visa, for example, would fall under the latter category. He wrote the opinion in response to a question from a state delegate, Bob Marshall, who represents Prince William County. Marshall's county implemented a law that requires police to check the immigration status of everyone they arrest, but not everyone they come into legal contact with. So, interesting information out of the state of Virginia. Hopefully, we can get a ruling on this and see that these laws are legal state by state. And that the federal government, it's interesting because the federal government says that they supersede all of the states when it comes to immigration status. What about in the case of Virginia, where you don't share a border with Mexico? That's been part of the federal government's argument when it comes to Arizona. They are in charge of the international border, which Arizona happens to be on, but because it's an international border, the federal government has control. Okay, Virginia does not share a border with Mexico. What are you going to do with them? Or Montana? Montana doesn't share a border with Mexico. What about them? How are you going to handle those guys? What's your argument going to be then, Eric Holder, head crony of the legal group of scumbags from the latest regime to occupy the White House? What do you do then? It's incomprehensible to me that the federal government, who is allowing this rampant immigration, this rampant illegal immigration, and not stemming the flow whatsoever, against the wishes of well over 80% of the American population. They're just flying a huge bird in the direction of everyone. It may as well be a beacon in one corner of the country. Let's say it's in the corner. Let's say it's down near the San Ysidro border crossing south of San Diego. Just erect a gigantic human hand with the center digit of the five digits on the hand raised proudly, and just have it on a bit of a cycle, like an oscillating fan. Just have it oscillating back and forth to the rest of this country that you're going to do what you want on the border and forget what we have to say. We're the ones with the ultimate authority. We're the ones with the rights. You have the nothing more than power and authority as divested by we the people. We give you the power and authority, and we're telling you to secure the freaking borders. Why? Why do I bring this up on a Second Amendment show? Because crime is coming with. And what are we going to do about that crime? We need to arm ourselves so that when the crime finds us on our front door or sitting in on our back porch or destroying our country, we're ready. We can't allow the federal government to continue like this. We've got to get it together, folks. Stay tuned. There's plenty more about this and a drug cartel putting a hit on an American official when we come back. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check, which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
All right, guys, welcome back. Now, a Mexican drug cartel has allegedly put a price on the head of an Arizona sheriff. Who is it? Well, it's the head of the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Joe Arpaio. You know the guy. The guy that we refer to as America's sheriff. The guy who does the tent cities. The guy who puts his inmates in pink. The guy who doesn't allow his inmates to have any form of caffeine, meaning coffee or soda, any form of tobacco, meaning cigarettes, cigars, pipes, chewing tobacco, anything such as that, and who once lost a lawsuit at the Supreme Court level, which said you must provide cable television to your inmates. Fine. So what did he do? He brought cable television back in, and the only two channels that they get are the Weather Channel and the Disney Channel. That's it. This is the guy that we're talking about. He's also the guy that, regardless of what the federal government has said, the federal government has tried to say, look, you have to be authorized by us in order to enforce federal laws. Well, Sheriff Joe has said, I really don't think that I do. I understand the Constitution evidently much better than you do. If there's a law on the books that is a constitutional law, it is bound by the Constitution, it does pass constitutional muster, we're allowed to enforce it, period. That's the way it is. So they continue in Maricopa County to enforce federal immigration laws and deport people on their own. Well, evidently, a Mexican drug cartel has put a hefty price tag on Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio's head. As part of Arizona's immigration law, SB 1070, went into effect this last week, the Mexican drug cartel sent out a text and audio messages offering rewards to anyone who would join its fight, according to a source who says his wife received the message. Interesting. Is his wife a potential hit woman? Quote, it's offering $1 million for Sheriff Joe Arpaio's head and is offering $1,000 for anyone who wants to join the Mexican cartel. That's according to the man who wants to remain anonymous, who said that his wife got the message. The instructions included directions to pass the message along and listed an international phone number. The man reported the message to the Sheriff's Department, which says it believes the message originated in Mexico and could be credible. But even if the message isn't authentic, Lisa Allen of the Sheriff's Office says it could still pose a threat. She says, it's going so many different places that our folks are looking at it and thinking, well, at any given point in time, it could land in front of some crazy person who thinks I can do that, she said. The sheriff's office hopes to track down the exact source of the message, but says that may be difficult due to an international number. So, how about that? How about that, where we have a Mexican drug cartel putting a hit out on probably the best sheriff, or one of the best sheriffs this country has right now. Certainly one of the best we've ever seen. Somebody who doesn't take a bunch of garbage. A sheriff that doesn't really care if the inmates are comfortable in their surroundings or not. A sheriff that doesn't care whether the federal government is happy with the way he does things or not, because he understands he is the most powerful elected official in a county. You must follow the Constitution. Now, I live in Nye County, Nevada. Our sheriff for the last 8 years has been a fellow by the name of Tony DeMeo. Tony's from Brooklyn, New York. He retired and moved out west after 20-plus years in the Jersey City, New Jersey Police Department. He came out here, ended up getting back involved, ended up being a deputy with the Nye County Sheriff's Department, ran for sheriff, and just shy of 8 years ago now, in November it'll be 8 years ago, he won. So he's been in office about 7.5 years, running for re-election again. Pretty decent guy. Knows and understands the Constitution, has re-implemented constitutional understanding in his Sheriff's Academy. And as a good instance, the federal government was all over a rancher in northern Nevada, starting in about 1991, telling this rancher that they couldn't do free grazing on public lands, that the lands belonged to the federal government. For Bureau of Land Management, BLM. People out west, we know about this. Back east, they don't. The thing is, the federal government doesn't own any park land. The federal government is prohibited from owning land larger than 10 square miles. BLM land, forestry land, belongs to the people. It is managed by the federal government. Sheriff Tony DeMeo was pissed when he found out the federal government was going out there forestrying BLM guys in jocked up SWAT gear to seize cattle off of this guy's ranch. Then they would sell it and keep the money and not reimburse him, stealing by gunpoint. Well, DeMeo put an absolute end to that and let the federal government, through the BLM and the Forestry Division, know they have no law enforcement authority or powers whatsoever in Nye County, Nevada. None. If they ever want to enforce any sort of law other than a civil trespass or something such as that, they have to have the Nye County Sheriff's Department intercede. This is the same type of guy in Arizona that we have in Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Guys, stay tuned. We're going to talk about what the chief Mexican out of Mexico wants to do with drug cartels when we return.
Listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Somebody get a silencer for this guy. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
And welcome back. So the chief Mexican, the president of Mexico, Felipe Calderon, warns Mexico, in a new stage of a drug war, he says that cartels show, quote, no limits or scruples. Wow, you think? Due to all of the just vampant, absolutely vampant corruption in Mexico, the cartels are able to do pretty much what they want, when they want, how they want. And all they have to deal with is this small little section that actually follow President Calderon. You need to have wide-sweeping reform in your country when it comes to all of the corruption that goes on, possibly including things such as life imprisonment or even the death penalty for corrupt officials. Once you get that under control, then you have a snowball's chance in hell of actually winning this war that you have launched against the Mexican drug cartels. And only then, when you have your own government purchasing weapons and munitions to help your side in the drug cartel, and you end up, I'm sorry, your side against the drug cartel, and then you end up with some of the lower level minions who are corrupt and are now selling this information, selling these weapons, selling these munitions to the cartels, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Now, just yesterday, Chief Mexican, President Felipe Calderon, says that Mexico is facing a new stage in its war with drug cartels as gangs escalate their attacks on government and civilians, including journalists. Speaking at a meeting with representatives of business and civic groups, Calderon said organized crime groups have demonstrated they have no, quote, limits or moral scruples, end quote, and are trying to instill fear in officials and civilians alike. Well, they're doing a good job. When your government is morally bankrupt and just as corrupt as the day is long, you're going to get nowhere against these guys. You're not leading by example. You're helping them. They have money to pay, and these guys want money. I mean, when you have actual groups, actual units, whole entire units of Mexican special forces, or like the what would be like Rangers out of the Mexican army defect. They all just go AWOL at one time, taking all of their guns, all of their gear with them. The whole unit, boop, gone. Where do you think they go? They go to a drug cartel. They've got their own Ranger unit now. Seriously, you don't see this? You don't see this, really. He's saying, we face a new stage in insecurity. He said, noting that this year's assassination of a gubernatorial candidate in a border state and the recent kidnappings of a journalist, I'm sorry, of several journalists, he says, we have witnessed an escalation of violent crime in our country. Well, of course you have. Calderon acknowledged there is criticism of how the government has pursued the crackdown on drug cartels that he ordered upon taking office in December 2006, and he called on citizens to make suggestions for altering and improving its strategy. So they're lost. They have no idea what they're doing. He says, my government has been and will be willing to revise it, to strengthen it, to refine it, he says. That's his their plan. What he's speaking about. Ernesto Lopez Portillo, director of the Institute for Security and Democracy, complained to the president that the results of the crackdown don't seem consistent with all the resources poured into fighting crime. He says, we are at the stage of having more resources and not having better results. Okay, well, despite success, such as last week's killing by soldiers of Ignacio Nacho Coronel, one of the top leaders of the Sinaloa cartel, many Mexicans are growing worried over the violence tied to the drug trade. Nearly 25,000 people have been killed in drug-related violence since Calderon became president, many of them fighting among the cartels. So what happens when this spills over the border? The federal government here in the United States has already demonstrated that they want the borders to remain porous. Otherwise, they wouldn't be porous. If something happened and the federal government had some necessity to absolutely have to lock down and close the entire 2,000 plus miles, a 2,300 mile border with Mexico, they had to lock it down. Nobody moving on either side, period. Nobody crosses this border. How long do you think it would take them to actually secure the border if it was a national security threat? Well, I'll give you this. It would probably take about 72 hours. That's it. To absolutely lock it down. Drop the hammer on our southern border with Mexico. That's about what it would take to mobilize and get everybody in place with a plan. Probably take about 72 hours. Why haven't they done it now? There's a vested interest in allowing all of these illegals into the country, and it is a political interest. Dirty, stinking politics. We'll get to that in a minute. Now, they had this soldier, Ignacio Nacho Coronel, who was some top leader in the Sinaloa cartel, drug cartel in Mexico, that the, soldiers in the Mexican army took out last week. My question is this, why aren't you just going after the heads of the cartels? Okay, we know the guys live here. We've got surveillance on them. All right, they're at home. Boom, house is gone. Boom, see ya, they're done. They're in a car. Boom, car is gone. Well, why not just play? The thing is, the cartels are playing without rules. But your government in Mexico is playing by rules. You guys are corrupt as the day is long anyhow. Why not just finish things? Wouldn't happen in this country. I mean, as corrupt as our government is, as filthy, dirty, disgusting, corrupt, putrid filth that our federal government is, it's still not as bad as Mexico's corrupt, filthy, pukey, slimy, disgusting, corrupt government is. So, in Mexico, just take them out. The fish stinks at the head. Find the head, cut it off. The rest of the fish dies. Now, on Saturday, police in northern Mexico rescued two kidnapped television news cameramen whose abductors had demanded their media outlets broadcast cartel messages. Two other journalists abducted at the same time as the cameramen were released within that same week. Public Safety Secretary Genaro Galicia Luna López Rodríguez Jiménez Sanchez blamed the abductions of the journalists on the Sinaloa drug cartel by Joaquin El Chapo Guzman Rosman Ruiz Esmeralda, Mexico's most wanted drug lord. Okay. Well, if you want him, why don't you just find him and kill him? Yeah, like our government can't do that. Like they didn't have an opportunity to take out bin Laden. Where's bin Laden, right? I guess I look at things from a simpler point of view. I really do. If someone is a threat to your national security, a threat to your civilians within your country, you go get him. And if you can't get him because he retaliates by killing your people that go in to get him, take him out. Okay? I guess that's the way I look at this thing. If I was the chief Mexican, that's what I'd be doing. That's exactly what I'd be doing. Now, in light of all of this violence and all these drug wars, the U.S. is getting ready to reopen a consulate in a Mexican border city after completing a review of security protocols. It's in, Ciudad Juarez. That consulate's going to reopen after closing for 2 entire working days for a review of security threats. Now, remember that a consulate worker, an American consulate worker, and her husband were killed. They worked out of there. They were ambushed on the road. Now, U.S. State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley said that the consulate will reopen today. He did not provide any details on the outcome of the review or the security threat that prompted the unexpected closure on Friday and Monday. Now, we are the people. We're the ones with the power. We have the rights. We divest some power and authority into the federal government. And when we ask what's going on, we should be told. A U.S. Embassy spokesman said that there would be no comment on whether security had been increased. Really? You answer to us, Jack Wagon. We're supposed to know. He says, it was the most dramatic measure the State Department has taken to keep its consulate employees safe in the increasingly violent Mexican border cities. The shutdown came 4 months after drug gangs killed three people tied to the consulate. And 2 weeks after cartels denoted the first successful car bombing against Mexican security forces in Juarez, the city across the border from El Paso, Texas, is one of the most dangerous, with more than 4,000 people killed there since the beginning of 2009. Can you imagine? Since the beginning of 2009, 18 months, 4,000 people killed in border violence. Right across the dried up river from El Paso. The Rio Grande is dry, guys. It's, there's no river between the two countries right now. It's a dirt pit that they walk across if you want. Now, hundreds of Mexicans were forced to postpone appointments for visa applications and other services during the 2 days that the consulate was closed. The U.S. Embassy said it would reschedule appointments for visa applications through its call center. Now, Ciudad Juarez consulate processed 124,145 immigrant visa applications in 2009, plus about 120,000 travel visas. Now, add all that together, that is a quarter million visas. Quarter million visas in a year. All right. Now, if we have a quarter million visas in a single year out of a Monday through Friday organization, all right? So what we end up with is we have 52 weeks out of the year times 5 days a week if they take no holidays, right? 52 weeks times five, we have 260 days. So that means that they are processing close to 1,000 applications every day out of one area. Do you think that some of those 1,000 a day out of that one office, that one area of Mexico, that we're going to have some people who shouldn't be coming to the United States slipping through the cracks? I would think so. It's much easier to get into the United States than what I had thought. When this one office does a quarter million in a year, and they estimate 400,000 to 500,000 a year sneak across illegally, all you need to do is go to another border application, and we have twice as many people coming across legally at 1,000 visa OKs per day on average than we have sneaking across illegally. Why bother going the illegal route, guys? Why bother? It sickens me that the federal government actually wants to increase the harm in this country. Is there any other country that sends anywhere near as many people to the U.S.? And are the crime percentages by immigrants of other countries anywhere near that of the U.S.? Somebody's got to have those numbers somewhere. And of course, Obama, he'd be totally wrong to turn his back on immigration, but what is he doing? Doing exactly that, turning his back on immigration. Now, he has plenty of other things vying for his attention. You know, war in Iraq and Afghanistan, an anemic economy. You know, so who could blame him for waiting to put aside the contentious issue of immigration now that, well, they sued Arizona for trying to do that on their own because he has been turning his back on it. And now that Arizona's immigration law has been temporarily, at least partially, neutered, Obama may well be tempted to put the whole immigration issue on the back burner for a while as his Justice Department lawsuit against the state of Arizona winds its way through the courts. I mean, after all, he's had plenty of other things vying for his attention. We'll talk about that after the break. So we'll get into that more. What we really want to know, guys, is why we're being ignored by the federal government. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Time is right.
The American Dream, founded by men of honor, men of a creed once shared by most, and now all but forgotten. Men who risked their lives and perpetrated the most egregious acts of treason in history to create the United States of America. The Founding Fathers recognized that tyranny reigns over unarmed men, and they vowed to never allow that to happen here in the United States of America. Politicians of a lesser ilk have tried to subvert the right to self-protection, to protect your family and property. Until now, announcing America's Victory Shoots, the largest patriotic shooting event in generations, celebrating the Supreme Court's decision in McDonald versus Chicago, restoring the rights of all Americans across the land, from sea to shining sea, right in the backyard of Chicago itself. America's Victory Shoot is for Americans who share the creed of our founding fathers. Join your countrymen in a celebratory weekend of shooting events and training for the protection of you and your family at the patriotic event of a generation. There's limited space, so go to victoryshoot.org to find out more and sign up today. As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
Okay, folks, so answer me this. You have the president, you have, in this case, a de facto president, and everyone else below him, down to the actual border agents on the border with Mexico. Tell me why they would not want to secure the borders and allow people to come through the ports of entry as we do on the Canadian border. We don't have a bunch of people sneaking across the Canadian border because everything is pretty well closed down except for the ports of entry. Why is it we haven't secured the southern border? Here's why. Because once everybody sneaks across, we've got tens of millions of people here illegally. Whoever is in charge, be it a Democrat or Republican, here's what they believe. If they can offer amnesty again, like they did back in 1986, and then they said, okay, we've got all the laws on the books now, we're going to pass this whole new reform, we're going to offer amnesty to the people who are here, but we're never going to have to do this again. That's what they built us 24 years ago. That's what they told us. Here it is. Well under a quarter century later, we were having these problems again. 10 years ago, we were having these problems. Okay, just after 14, 15 years. Now here it is, 24 years later, we're facing the same issue. Because why? What they did was they anticipated, the Democrats in power of Congress demonstrated while Reagan was president, that if you provide amnesty and you give them the power to vote in that amnesty, you get the votes. So the Mexicans will vote for whoever's in office. In that case, it was the Democrats. The Republicans want to have their turn as well. All right? The Democrats certainly had their shot. Now they want to do it again. Now if there's an additional 20 million in the potential voter base and hundreds more each day coming across. That's why not to stem the tide of the flow of illegals. Now, they put new laws on the books in 86, said we wouldn't have this problem again, but you know why they didn't work? Because even though they passed the laws, Congress failed to fund them. You can have every law in the world on the books that you want. Without being able to fund them and put boots on the ground and enforce them, it's as though the law was never passed. Just yet another way that we, you and I, and everybody within the sound of my voice here in the United States are absolutely screwed by our non-representing representatives in Washington. The people representing us, allegedly in Washington, D.C., represent the clearest and most present danger to the security of the United States in modern history.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you and Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com. I will not.